female odor that goes with it, especially when you use pads and the blood remains in the pad for any length of time, then the bacteria produce its own odor. And my mother had taught my sister and I that you're not supposed to bathe during this time because, or shower, because you catch a cold. You'll get a chill. Afterwards, you can bathe. Okay. And so, this was just extremely uncomfortable because for 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, the blood is collecting on the hair. And it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable. So, I didn't like it at all. I didn't like what it did to me. I had an aunt, my mother's sister, who learned that my period had started. And she sat me down and lectured me on how important it was now that I stopped wearing pants. I must always wear skirts. That I was a woman. And I needed to be very careful because boys do things without ever telling me why. And that I can't do the things that I used to do. I can't play with my cousin anymore. And especially the pants. Because the pants is what, wearing pants is what made it possible for me to be physically active. And my mother never said anything when she lectured me. And although my mother, I know, made an effort to try to dress me as a young lady, which I just blocked at. Tremendously.
No, your sister didn't have a problem with that.
No, my sister never wore pants.
What was your reaction? Like, what did she try to do to make you dress like a
39? Everything. I mean, I was made fun of. And when my breasts grew large enough, my mother and my sister both decided I should wear a bra. And I know I was in my 11th year, approaching my 12th year. We hadn't moved down south yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they both took me to the store to get a bra for me, and I didn't want a bra. And I remember they both picked out the bra, and they made me try it on. And I was in tears over having to be fitted for this bra. So, I mean, it was just very domineering, very unpleasant.
And so the whole thing of changing, you know, from physically active young girl to this woman, did you think of it as like what it was at the time, or did it just like something that you couldn't remember?
It made me mad. And I think because I already had a history of living in a family unit where I figured out how to avoid things that I didn't like, being that middle child. I'd learned to do things without, if I knew that my parents were going to object and I wanted to do it anyway, I went ahead and I did it. And if I got found out, well, then I got found out. Most of the time I didn't get found out. And so when it came to my activities, I would go to school. And if I wasn't wearing pants to school, where they let me, I was wearing a dress or a skirt, and I came back from school, and I immediately changed into my pants and went out and pretty much did what I wanted. My mother might have wanted me to stay in the house, but I didn't. So there was lots of fighting and lots of screaming and hollering, and none of which apparently made much of an impression on me because I just pretty much did what I wanted. I mean, I was a very unpopular child in the family because I didn't conform to what my mother and my sister, like I say, certainly wanted. But it made me very unhappy because I was not accepted.
Yeah. So you moved down here right before the war.
Right before the end of the Second World War.
Right,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. What do you remember about the Second World War and how did it affect your life?
I remember that it was a very frightening time, mainly because I really didn't understand it. And I remember when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, I was 9 years old. It was a Sunday morning, and I was helping my father deliver furniture in the Bay Area. And I remember he had the radio on in the truck, and the announcement came over the radio that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. And I remember asking my father what a harbor was, because I didn't even have a basic notion what a harbor was. And he points to the water that we were driving right by, and he says, that's the harbor, and it was right in front of me. It was really funny. I had no idea what a harbor was. But anyway, it was very hard for me to conceive of that harbor that he pointed to being something that would have a bunch of bombs and fires and ships being destroyed, because there were ships in the harbor there too. When we lived in, when we moved to Southern California, it was just a disturbing, it was a very insecure time for everybody, I think, because of the war. I remember when peace was declared in Europe, when I guess it was VE Day, and everybody was really happy, and people were out in the streets, and it just, like, tension was relieved.
Did you know anyone who was in the war?
We didn't have anybody in our immediate family, but we had friends and very close friends who had sons who had gone into service, and some of them didn't return, and it was sad because I had known a lot of them.
Being in LA, I know you were young. Did you know any of the GIs when they came home? And did you have any interaction with the servicemen?
No, not when they first came back, because I was very young, 12, 13. You know, so I was at a point where I was just struggling for my own identity and my own miserable junior high school years. And,
yeah, so we didn't really finish talking about junior high.
Mm-hmm.
What was school itself like? What were your relationships at that time?
In junior high school, I had very, very few girlfriends, extremely few. I think I had one in the 7th and 8th grade. I had one in the 9th grade, the same one. Two separate ones, rather, but only one. And I think much of it was because I had spent so many of my younger years living and growing with my cousins, my male cousins, and I just wasn't into the things that the women were doing at the junior high school level.
What were they doing?
Very much social, very much into clothing, very much into makeup, very much into boys, and I didn't have the money for any of it, and I really felt like a fish out of water. I was a fish out of water. The classes were okay. I don't remember anything in particular about any of the classes. Yes, I do. One class in particular, which I think back on every so often. I had no problems with any of the classes in particular other than English. And I had one class that was a math class taught by a man who had been in the service, and I remember that because he was one of the few who told us anything about his own background. And I remember something happening in the class. I was a very quiet student, and I tended to sit in the back and try to get my work done. I didn't interact with any of the other students. I didn't talk in class. I just wanted to get the job done and go home. And I remember something happened in class, and he decided that I had done something, which I hadn't. And he, in a very commanding manner, ordered me out of the classroom, took me out in the hallway, and he ran me up against the wall with his hands, started, and he had his hands on my bust and my chest, and pushing me up against the wall, physically yelling at me that I should never do that again, or something to that effect. I had no idea what it was he was screaming and hollering at me about. And then he proceeded to feel me all over. Mm-hmm. And then finished, and then said that if I ever do anything like that again, he'll have me expelled. And that he only did it in private out here. He only yelled at me in private out here, so I wouldn't be embarrassed. And it wasn't until, you know, recently that I realized that this guy was just touchy-feely, and he had no business.
And so what did you
do? Went back into class, and was miserable, stayed the hell away from him, and was glad to finally get out of his class, and I just avoided him like the plague. There was no way I was going to tell anybody. My impression was that I was the one at fault. I did something to upset him, and that, this is the way men behave anyway.
Was there ever a thing that you remembered what it was, like that you thought you did?
Mm-hmm. No idea. No. The only thing I, even then, my impression was he made a mistake. It was somebody else, and he went after me. And, but, you know, it's just what we today call sexual abuse or whatever, you know. It's just, he had no business putting his hands sexually on me. He did. And he just was real clear that he was about, chewing me up.
It's just like he took a break in class.
Right in class. Everybody else kept working. The halls were empty. And I had no idea. My folks never went to school for any reason. And they made it very clear that the only time that they would ever go to school was if I was in trouble and they got a complaint about me, and they never wanted to complain about me.
Yeah,
very clear message.
But do you remember any other relationships, like going from junior high to high school?
There was one significant thing that that happened that more or less directed the rest of my high school and the rest of my schooling and my relationships also. I had a boyfriend when I was 14 and saw him for 2 years. And he was twice my age, except he really wasn't a boyfriend. And because he was so much older than me, in retrospect, the only thing I can figure is that he maybe needed to have a childlike relationship with someone who was childlike, that he could just enjoy on that level, and that I really needed a father, or at least an older man or someone I could turn to. And that's basically what our relationship was based on. He took me to a lot of fun places. We went to the park a lot. We went to the zoo, movies. He taught me how to drive. He gave me a car. He was in the neighborhood. He worked in the neighborhood. And he spent a lot of time with me. And there was a lot of hugging and a lot of kissing. There was no sex. And the hugging and kissing was not sexual. And, I mean, to this day, I look back on it. And it was very unusual that, you know, I can't imagine that a man wouldn't have tried otherwise. I mean, it's extremely unusual. I was very, very lucky. I think it could have been really disastrous for me.
And how did your family know about it?
Family had some ideas, and they made some attempts to not let me see him. But by then it didn't matter because I was pretty much doing what I wanted. I didn't study at home. There was no place to study at home. He'd go to the library all the time to study. So I was out of the house anyway. And so I just saw him whenever I felt like it. He never came around the house. I always met him place. And so I don't think they had any inkling at all of how much time I actually spent with him. It had disastrous effects on my schooling. I didn't study. So my grades dropped really badly. And after the second year of our relationship, he left, and I made the decision that I was just going to spend my time on my schoolwork. I wasn't going to date any guys. I made that decision real clear. No guys in my life. First of all, because I didn't like the boys. They were big physically. They scared me. I didn't like the way they talked to each other. I didn't like the way they treated women, the girls at school. Mm-hmm. And because I had male companionship when I was younger, they treated me so badly, you know, and they talked about girls, women so badly, that I didn't want any part of them.
What would they say? Do you remember that?
They'd stand around in groups of 3, 4, 5 and speak very loud about, in really derogatory terms about, different girls in the school. And they'd look, they'd sideway glances, and I mean, they'd practically undress you by looking at you as a group. And so I just decided I didn't want anything to do with them. There were some boys who lived in the neighborhood who I knew and who I would go to afternoon movies with other kids in the neighborhood, but that's all it was. There was never any boyfriend-girlfriend kind of thing. I didn't want any part of that. And I decided that I would not date until I got out of high school. And so when I got into high school, but when I, the, after this breakup with this guy, it was very traumatic, but it had to be done. It had to be done. He had to move on. It was just there was no way that, you know, the relationship, after 2 years, it was either going to go one way or the other. It just couldn't stay the way it was. And so, yeah, it was very traumatic. I lost a lot of weight. I remember for a 2 to 3 week period. I mean, I just was real miserable. But at some point, you know, life goes on. And that's when I decided that I would just devote myself to school and babysitting. And then at some point during high school, I also got a job working in 5 and 10 and saving my money and being able to buy clothes I needed and being able to buy school lunches and books or whatever else I needed.
How much money did you make at your job?
At babysitting, I made 35 cents an hour. And at 5 and 10, I think it was like 65 cents an hour or something like that. And, but the bus, the streetcars were like a dime. The economy was considerably different than it is today. And so I got through high school.
Did you have any role models in high school teachers or subjects that, you know, you really liked?
I spent a lot of time taking classes in biology. I enjoyed biology a great deal. And I enjoyed using the microscope. And I took a lot of clothing classes through junior high school and high school because I needed that in order to get my clothes. But otherwise, classes were, you know, they were all okay. I was okay in math. In fact, I enjoyed geometry. I took Latin, which, as I say, helped my English. They were okay.
And so you weren't dating. Did you go to any dances or any songs?
Okay, I made that decision and I wasn't going to date or attend any school dances or anything. However, I did decide that I would go out grad night. I did not want to go to my class prom because I didn't like the idea of having to get all dressed up in a fancy gown, put on a stupid flower, walk around and show off who you're with and how you look and make comments about how nice everybody else looks at this. It's stupid. And but I decided, no, grad night I would begin to date. And that's what I did. And the guy that I went out with grad night, I began to see for about, I think I dated him for about 6 months straight after that. And it was a deliberate decision on my part that I would date only on weekends. Because I had already started school, going to L.A. City College. And weekends would be the time that I would date. And I made the decision to date on weekends, every weekend. Anyone and everyone that I possibly could. Mainly because my father was very upset that I was going on to college. My father did not believe that women should be so educated that they are less desirable as wives. In fact, my father was very upset when my sister graduated high school because his opinion that men do not like educated women. And so he was doubly upset with me and, in fact, stopped talking to me for about 3 months when I started college.
How did you pay?
It was very inexpensive. It was, I think, $6.50 a semester, plus books. I used a streetcar to get to and from school. My father was generous enough to let me stay at home. I never ate at home, but I had a bed. And I studied at the library.
And you were still working at the
library? I was still doing everything I possibly could. I was working as a babysitter, child care at night. I was doing 5 and 10. And then by the time I was into my second year, I got a full-time job working as what they used to call Girl Friday. It was a desk job at a women's dress shop on Wilshire Boulevard. And I worked between 38 and 40 hours total, plus carrying full 15 to 17 units at college. And I just about killed myself. But it was worth it. It was good. It worked out for me.
When you went to high school and college, what were your goals in life? Did you have any expectations or fantasies?
I knew I was going to get married because I wanted a family. And everybody got married. I mean, didn't everybody get married? Well, no, not everybody didn't get married, but I was raised to believe, or everything around me told me, that everybody got married and had families. It was also right after the Second World War, where the emphasis was pronatalism. We needed to repopulate the country. So everybody got married. And the ideal family size was four children. Homes, single family homes were built with family rooms that were right off the kitchen. And the emphasis was pronatal. So, of course I was going to get married. In high school, I knew I was going to go on to college. I didn't know what I was going to take, but I knew that I needed to get something under my belt because I was concerned that if anything ever happened to my husband, I needed to be able to make a little bit better money. At the end of high school, we all took these tests to determine what direction we should go in. And I remember so well my test results showed that I should be, I think it was a forest ranger. And the guy who sat down and evaluated the test results with me looked at it, and he just said, oh, no. He said, well, of course, this is very interesting and all. He said, but however, the jobs that are available for, that you would be perfect for, would be elementary, would be preschool, would be nursery school training. That's what you should take, is nursery school training. So, you know, here I took this test that said I should do outdoor forestry work or something, and he tracked me right into, you know, a women's job that was, you know, readily available and important at that time. So I did. For the first 2 years at L.A. City College, I took nursery school training. And at the end of the, and I was working at the same time. And at the end of the 2 years, I said to myself, why should I go into nursery school training with all of this and have more or less a dead-end job with limited income when I could go for 2 more years, come away with a teaching credential, and my options would be that much wider. So I signed up for 2 more years, and I went to LA, I went to Cal State Los Angeles, and I got my teaching credential from Cal State, at that time when I graduated. And, I'm glad I did.
And you played, did you date different people through this time? And
I dated every single weekend. I did not miss one weekend through college. And I would date anybody and everybody.
Where would you go?
Well, what I decided was I needed to meet men. I needed to have some experience with people. And also I wanted fun. And I was working. And getting homework done was a chore. And I figured out I'd spend all day Sunday sitting and doing homework, which is what I did. But I needed to just get out. And I needed to meet a lot of men. If I was eventually going to get married, I needed to meet men. And so I did it every single weekend. The men who were Jewish, I brought home to pick me up. They picked me up at home. The men who were not Jewish, I met elsewhere. Otherwise, I'd have trouble to my house, my family.
Did you have access to
a car? I had my own car by my third year of college. I bought my own car, about $200, something like that. So I didn't have to take the streetcar anymore. I needed to have that car because I was working full time at a job where I needed to be able to get to and from quickly. I took my classes all in the morning, and I worked from 12:30. Until 7 o'clock, and Thursday nights I worked till 10:30, 11 o'clock, and all day Saturday, and it came to about 38 to 40 hours a week. I was responsible for all of the sales tallies. I was responsible for all of the money. I was responsible for making sure that the register balanced at the end of the day. I did a daily financial report for the main office, and deposits. I made all of the deposits. And I also handled some of the credit accounts.
Mm-hmm. So you had a car. the Jewish boys that could be kept in their cars.
Yes.
The elite, non-Jewish boys.
Yeah. Elsewhere, right.
And what were some of your dates? Like, what was like
a lot of movies. I just remember going to a lot of movies. Movies were very, very popular at the time. There was a lot of really nice theaters. Occasional dances, because I loved to dance. One of the things that I took in high school was dancing. One of the high school teachers, one of the gym teachers, was an ex-ballet teacher who loved to dance. And she taught us all kinds of popular dances. And I got to be real good at it. So we'd go dancing.
What kind of music?
Ballroom dancing. Foxtrot and waltz. Let's see, what else did I do? What else did we do?
Any favorite movie stars?
Frank Sinatra. I was one of the Bobby Foxes who was up in the balcony screaming at Frank Sinatra's radio shows. And we used to go to sneak previews. There was a lot of sneak previews in Los Angeles. And that's where the movie is shown before it's actually released. And movie stars turn out to see the sneak preview.
Do you remember any?
Oh, yeah, there's so many of them. A lot of movie stars. I mean, it became just so common. Ruth Gordon, who died, I think, last year, I learned was a cousin of our family. One of the Star Trek people I learned later lived around the corner from us. I mean, we were in the Hollywood community, so it was just, part and parcel. I occasionally went to the Hollywood Bowl for dates, summertime, sitting up in the back. Occasionally went downtown to the Philharmonic. In college I was pinned to a fraternity guy.
Mm.
How could I forget this? And he did a lot of different kinds of things. He was he played timpani for a junior orchestra, Marilyn Bloom Junior Orchestra, which has another name today, which still functions. He was also a assistant conductor for the junior orchestra. He also played timpani in the Pasadena Civic Symphony Orchestra. And he was also learning to play the cello. He went to a lot of rehearsals during the week. When I was dating him, I was able to go with him to rehearsals and then to performances if I wasn't working. So I had a whole brand new level of cultural exposure that I never had before. And that was really nice. It just opened up a whole new world to me, so that I began to enjoy classical music to, that real personal level. He also liked dance. And on the last year that we went together, he was president of his fraternity. And that opened up a whole lot of fun activities for the fraternity and all kinds of stuff. He was a very nice guy. He was an only child of older parents. And was scared to death of sex. Somehow I managed to get through school and never have actual sexual intercourse. Now, whether it was because it was part of the times where birth control was not readily available, and the men, or at least the boys from school, tended to be more aware of their responsibility. Maybe the communities were smaller and they were held more accountable for their behavior. And there was lots of necking and lots of what we used to call petting with orgasm.
Where was this going?
Car. In the car. This contemporary artist who has his artwork in the Museum of Modern Art in Los Angeles. One of them is called the Backseat Dodge. I don't know whether you're familiar with his work. One of my boyfriends had a Dodge. Remember his backseat? It was very true. A lot of it was true.
And that was like part of your date, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was with guys that I just knew. And I tended to date serially. One guy 6 months, one guy 4 months, one guy 8 months, one guy a year. And so this guy I was into, I dated him for 2 years. And then we broke up. Again, it was a thing of either something had to come of the relationship or it had to stop. And it stopped. I mean, it just died all by itself. And that's the last year a little bit better than the last year of college. That's when I met Al.
So,
yeah, that was in 19... We married in 54, 53. It was in the spring of 53. And we married in the summer of 54.